You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the letter to the Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, and reading from chapter 2, the first three verses. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, and reading the first three verses by way of introduction. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And our subject this morning is seeking hidden treasure. That hidden treasure that is spoken of here, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Seeking that because how much we need these treasures to claim these things for ourselves. Well, just to very briefly set the context, although we won't stay with it for very long, these are the words of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae, to the Colossians, which is now modern day Turkey. And this letter is dated around AD 60, so around 30 years or so after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the letter in the opening statements in the first chapter that we read in our second scripture reading, well, the Apostle Paul really, as his main priority, is to exalt Christ. And that came through very clearly, I'm sure, as we were reading these things, that Christ was tremendously exalted. And the Apostle Paul put emphasis on his preeminence above all things. And just very briefly, if you look back at chapter 1 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. Well, of course he is. He is God. He is the second person of the triune Godhead, equal with the Father, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Christ is the creator God. He is God, the God of the Old Testament, one and the same. And then verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Christ is before all things. He never had a beginning. He is from everlasting to everlasting, has had no beginning, and shall know no end. And then verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Well, he died, but he rose again. And that was the great message that the apostles preached, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, and all those who trust in him will one day follow him. Death has no more sting for us, but we shall consider these things in greater depth a little later. But well, there were many more glorious things spoken of him in chapter 1, but we fix our sights on chapter 2, and well, these things that are spoken of in verse 2 and verse 3. And well, we read of the mystery of God at the end of verse 2. The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, specifically Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, isn't that an intriguing statement? They're hid. All these treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Well, the teaching of the scriptures and of the New Testament particularly, although it's all the way through the Bible, is that to those who do not believe in God, to unbelievers, the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of Christ, the beauty of the Christian faith is hidden to unbelievers. It's hidden to them. Unbelievers in this world, well, of course, they can't see the point of coming to church. They can't see the point of believing in Christ. They don't see their need. They don't understand that Christ has come and died. Well, so what? What possible bearing can it have on my life at all? They don't understand these things. Yes, Christ came and died, but why do I need to repent? Why do I need to give my life to him? All these things are hidden from them. They can't see them at all. Maybe there are people even here, gathered here this morning. You come here, yes. Maybe you come and you sit many weeks, very regularly. But you don't really see the point. You don't really see the point. It's just tradition. It's just out of habit. It's just because of maybe your parents want you to come. That's the only reason. But you don't really see the point why you're here. What is this Christian faith? Well, let me tell you this morning, you can't see the point because it's hidden from you. It's hidden from you. And this is part of what this verse is trying to explain to us. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see Christ, but his beauty is hidden from you. But it's not hidden in the sense that you can't possibly find it. It's not hidden so that you're searching and searching and it'll never be found. No, it's not hidden in that sense. It's hidden, if I can put it this way, in the sense of maybe, well, let's put it as an illustration. When we receive a gift, maybe on our birthday or for Christmas, well, you're given a gift. But the actual gift is hidden. Normally it's wrapped up, wrapping paper, gift wrap. You're given a gift, but you don't know what it actually is until you unwrap it. The actual gift is hidden from view. So when you come into this place and you hear the word of God, the gospel is presented to you like a gift. Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift, is presented to you. But you have to unwrap it. You have to seek it for yourself. You have to do something. You have to seek the Lord, or else you'll never see what's inside, the gift, the treasure. Some people just think, oh, if I just come to church, somehow magically God will just convert me. I don't have to do anything. No, you have to seek the Lord. If you're given a gift, you have to unwrap it. You have to unwrap it, then you can profit from it. Then you can benefit from what's inside. And so it's the same with the gospel. Don't just sit there and think, oh God, if you're going to save me, save me. No, you have to seek after the Lord. Do you do that? How do we unwrap it? Oh, we seek the Lord through his word. We pray to God. Oh, God, help me to see my need. Help me to see what is so beautiful about the Christian faith. Help me to see it. I come to church week after week. I can't see it. Help me to see it. Well, there's that famous healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know it, I'm sure. The blind man, blind Bartimaeus. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And what did the blind man say? Lord, that I may receive my sight. I want to see what has previously been hidden from me. I want to see it. And so the Lord is saying to us even today, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And we ought to respond, Lord, I want to see the beauty of Christ. I want him to be my Saviour, not just the Saviour of those all around me. I want him to be my Saviour. I want to see him for myself. We have to come and approach God and approach Christ. These are treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Treasures, well, you have to dig for treasure is not just lying around on the street. You have to seek it. You have to dig for it. And well, I just wanted to stress that to you. We have to seek the Lord, or else nothing will happen. Show him that we are willing, and he will be willing to receive us. But what are hidden here in Christ? The things that are mentioned? Wisdom and knowledge. That's what's hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Valuable wisdom and knowledge. Not just common wisdom. This is uncommon wisdom and knowledge. Not wisdom and knowledge that can be learned in a university or in a school or in a human seat of learning. This is wisdom that can only come from God. Uncommon wisdom, treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These things are hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom concerning deep and profound things, spiritual things, eternal things, the meaning of life. Man cannot fathom that out by himself. Many philosophers over many centuries, what is the meaning of life? They don't understand what it is, but that wisdom is in Christ. You know what the meaning of life is when you come to Christ. The meaning of life is Christ. To seek him, to find him before you die, you must do it. That is the meaning of life, to seek and find the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are only found in him. Why are we born? Why do we live? Why do we die? Man is so lost concerning all these things. Do they have any explanation why we die? Man alone? Why is death in the world? Well, we understand these things through the scripture. Death is in the world because of man's rebellion against God. Man has turned away from God as a race. We've rejected him. We've gone our own way. And that is why death is in the world. We've turned away from the God of life and brought death and sin into this world. All this wisdom, you can only find it in the Word of God. You can only find it in Christ Jesus. Oh, this is tremendous to think about. And well, when we think about death, what a terrible thing death is. How do we find wisdom concerning death? Death is so, so pernicious. How much sorrow and grief is brought about because of death? And it comes to all of us. Not one of us can escape death. Not one of us in this room. Are you prepared for it? That is the great question that is posed to us through the scriptures. Are you prepared for death, for that great and coming day? Wisdom is all about preparation. Of course it is. It's very easy to understand. If you have an exam, or if you think back to your school life when you had exams, well, if you were wise, you would prepare for an exam. You'd have to revise. You'd have to brush up on the things that you've learnt. You wouldn't just go in just like that, no preparation at all. That would be utterly foolish. You'd be a fool. Wisdom is all about preparation. That's what being wise is about. And well, it carries us through life. Work meetings, important meetings. You have to prepare. For marriage, you have to prepare. For parenthood, you have to prepare. If there's a child coming into the family, well, you have to prepare financially. You have to make up the spare room. Of course, that's wisdom. You'd be a fool if you never did any of those things. Preparation, that's wisdom. And yet, so many of us are totally unprepared for death. Totally unprepared. The thing that we cannot possibly escape, nobody prepares for it. We're complete fools. So many fools in this world. But wisdom in Christ, if you trust in Christ, then you are prepared for death. You are prepared. That's the wisdom that is hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things are so important for us. You must have that wisdom. But before we speak more about that, knowledge is also mentioned here. Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know God? Do you actually know God? That's my challenge to you. Knowing God is far more than just knowing that God exists. Many people know that God exists. Many people know that God is real. Many people know that God has helped them. Yes, I understand that. God has helped me. But that's not the same as knowing God, knowing who He is. You could have, be rushed into hospital. You could go under emergency surgery. And when you come to, your life is saved. You've pulled through the operation. You hear about the surgeon who saved you. And of course, you know that this surgeon existed, that he was real. You esteem him, you honor him. But you don't actually know the surgeon personally. You don't know what he's like, what his character is like, his personality. You know that he saved you, yes. You're indebted to him, but you don't actually know him. Or maybe some of you have that relationship to God. Yes, God has helped me throughout all my life, but you don't know him, what he's like, his character, his personality. Now, one thing we must stress about God is his holiness. Do you know about God's holiness, his righteousness, how he loves justice, how he is a God of eternal light? There's no darkness in him at all. He is pure, he is clean, he hates sin. Do you understand that? His holiness, the holiness of God. We have to stress this because sadly the holiness of God is being wiped out. The devil likes us to forget about the holiness of God. He doesn't mind us remembering about the love of God and the kindness of God, but he wants us always to forget about the holiness of God. You go to some churches nowadays, and there is no sense of the holiness of God. You go to some churches, and they're not holy places. They're places just like the world. They're like concerts. They're like nightclubs, some of these churches, with rock, so-called Christian rock, so-called Christian rap, up to the highest levels of volume. Where is the holiness of God? You don't go into those places with a sense of the holiness of God, and people are just dancing around, doing whatever they want. Oh, God doesn't mind this, God doesn't mind that. You don't get any sense of the holiness of God. But this is why we have reverence services in this church. Not because we want to be old-fashioned, but it's to give everybody a sense that God is holy. From the very outset, when you come into this place, we're not just going to do what we want. We're not just going to turn this place into a nightclub. Don't you understand? God is holy. God hates sin. God is separate from the world. That is what we need to understand, the holiness of God. And when we understand the holiness of God, when we know that he is pure and just, well, then we have better knowledge of ourselves. Better knowledge of ourselves. God is holy, he hates sin, but then you think about yourself. But I am a sinner. I have lied. I have lusted in my life. I have been proud, I've been selfish, I've been manipulative, I've been cruel and unkind, and God is so holy. Oh, I see myself in the proper light now. I not only have greater knowledge of God, I have greater knowledge of myself, that I am a true sinner. This is the knowledge that is hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have to stand before God at the end of our lives. We have to give an account of our lives to God, to this holy God who hates sin. Are you prepared to meet the Lord God? Are you prepared for eternity? God is holy, you are a sinner. If you come to God unprepared, well, God will cast you out. You'll be lost eternally. So you must prepare yourself. You must be wise. How can we prepare ourselves? How can we be wise? Well, there's one great piece of knowledge you need to have. One final piece of knowledge. Knowledge of the way of salvation. Do you have that knowledge? Knowledge of why Christ has come, why he has died. Christ has come. Christ has died to take upon himself the punishment for your sin, so that you do not have to be punished, so that there is no condemnation for you. Think of it when you stand before God, a holy God before you, and you with all your sin, if you trust in Christ, you will be able to point to him and say, he took the punishment for my sin. I know that I am a sinner, yes. I know that you are holy. I know that you cannot allow me to go into heaven because of my sin, but I trust in Christ. And he has taken the punishment for my sin. And he has lived a life of righteousness for me. Oh Lord, I know I can go into heaven because of him. Pointing always to the Lord Jesus, trusting only in him. Is that your knowledge? Do you know that? Do you claim that for yourself? That's the wisdom and the knowledge that we need. Well, I must begin to draw to conclusion. But what are you going to do with this knowledge? Are you going to be wise? Are you going to be wise this day? Lay hold upon Christ, this gift that has been presented to you. Are you going to lay hold upon it and claim it? Claim Christ for yourself? Are you going to ask God when you go home, Lord, help me to see how much I need Christ, how much I need him? Or are you going to be a fool? Are you going to simply go home and do nothing about it at all? What foolishness! You know that the day of death is coming. Don't put it to one side, out of mind, out of sight. You know it is very clear. And well, what a fool it would be if you were unprepared. The day of death, when we have to leave everything behind, all our possessions, all our careers, all the things that we've ever known, our homes, our status, our loved ones. We have to leave all those things behind when we die. But if you trust in Christ, if you know him, well then that treasure of wisdom and knowledge, that will still be with you. That won't be left behind. That treasure that is Christ, that wisdom that you have chosen him and you are prepared, that knowledge that he is your Savior, that he has taken the punishment for your sin, that will remain with you even throughout death. It will never leave you. The riches of his grace, that riches that has paid the price for all your sin, cleared your sin debt, that will be with you now and forevermore. You must come and seek him. Don't be a fool. Be wise unto salvation, and you will dwell with him forever. Well, let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray and ask thee that thou wouldest work in each one of us. Lord, we are each one presented with that glorious gift. Some of us have been presented with it so many times in our lives. Oh Lord, may we each one claim it and cleave to it and know the benefits of Christ and his salvation. Forgive us, Lord, all our sin. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.